Great. Thank you very much, Judy, Kristen, and Pradeep. We've had questions come in so far in two main veins of discussion. And so I think I'll bring both of those up since several different participants have addressed these two main larger issues. And then we also encourage you to, of course, keep posting your questions in the chat box. No question is too small or too big. We'll try and address them as we can. And as Judy said, if there's something we can't answer today, we will post those answers on AgriLinks. All right. So we had some questions come in during Pradeep's presentation. One from Hans Mazura from AgriDev Solutions in Boston, who asked, "Did you investigate the capacity of the regulators and crop protection department as being another major issue in perpetuating counterfeit inputs?" And Walter Nausenberger elaborated that he'd like to know more about Uganda's ability to regulate pesticide marketing and the capacity of the private inputs marketing service providers. And just more recently, we also had a comment about someone who had seen limited personnel to actively keep track of genuine products, that Uganda may not have punitive measures for those who do put forth counterfeit products. So pretty much, I don't know if you elaborate a little bit on the situation in Uganda, especially the political situation and how that affects this. And both of you can chime in, Pradeep and Kristen.
Sure. Thank you, Julie. I think it's an interesting one, the whole idea of regulators and the capacity of crop protection departments and creating standards. I think we found that when we actually made a trip during our study in Uganda to the government agency that was responsible for testing samples that are supply chains to test for counterfeiting, and all we found was two sort of microscopes that were broken and three stars that were trying to do this. And essentially, I think one of the things that I've not emphasized before was that we were trying to therefore look at a solution that's actually going to be market-led with the government primarily playing a supervision and setting the ground rules. I think if you look at end-user authentication, I think one of the reasons why we like the solution is that, I mean, in Uganda's case, it turned out differently where the government's actually doing tagging. But in reality, I think it doesn't require government to actually do any tagging. The price could be borne by market players. And the price of the tag and all, in most cases, is actually an insignificant cost, especially for seed companies and for crop protection companies. So we find that in such cases, the government's role then is only to ensure that they're actually once in a while doing sampling and making sure that they're assuring quality within supply chains, but not exactly having a hands-on role in implementation. But we do acknowledge that that sort of tends to be a big issue with the government not able to sort of do their own testing, and that's why we figure that an alternative solution is probably a more effective way to go. Kristen, I don't know if you want to add to that.
I mean, this obviously this is, as I said, one piece of what is a much larger problem and requires multiple interventions to fully address. So in terms of the capacity of UNBS and of the Ministry of Ag, who actually maintain the Ag Police Force and the inspectors that would be needed to verify if something truly is counterfeit, you know, that is an ongoing issue, and it's something else that we are looking at and trying to see how we can support and enable better capacity. It's also something that there is that broad public pressure around right now. There are some sister projects that USAID has on the ground. One is focused on the enabling environment, and so they're really working on getting the legal regulations passed that would allow certain enforcement efforts that currently just aren't even legally mandated. So that's another piece that we're looking at that would help support the effectiveness of the system. Just trying to do better training for the district agricultural officers that are the people in the field, trying to encourage them to better link up with their local police force so that when the e-verification system does ping that somebody scratched and called in something that is a counterfeit, that they can get the follow-up investigation and have it addressed. But even from, again, from the CropLife pilot in 2012, we saw immediately that once something was tagged and on the shelf, farmers didn't want to buy the other stuff. So even just having that in place helps. So getting the enforcement together in the long run will be important, but giving that farmer the empowerment of being able to make that decision of whether to buy or not. I mean, you take away the income for these people, they're going to start to drop off even without the enforcement. Maybe not totally, but it's going to put that market pressure in place.
Great. Thank you very much for those thorough responses. We also had a question that was initially raised by Naboth Wambale, who is a master's student at Iowa State University, but originally from Uganda, who asked about or raised the issue that many smallholders cannot afford to purchase fertilizers in 50-kilogram plastic 1-kilogram bags with no brand names or barcodes to the product. Could this be one of the entry points to counterfeiting in the supply chain? And a few other participants chimed in about that dividing up into smaller bags issue. I know it was briefly addressed, but it seems like it'd be worth readdressing that issue and how e-verification may add to the per unit cost if it were on smaller bags.
So. Yeah, I could go quickly and then hand it to Kristen. I think it's important to understand that the cost benefits of doing this is pretty important as we sort of design solutions. And often we found that in the case of fertilizers, I think one of the reasons why fertilizer gets sold in large bags is because the economics of actually selling in small bags actually doesn't make it, right? For instance, if the manufacturer were to incur additional packaging cost on a 15% gross margin business, I think it's hard. So I agree, I think in principle, I think we need more people to sell things in small bags so that one, that sort of increases overall adoption. It reduces the entry points for counterfeiters and it also actually helps you implement e-verification solutions. But manufacturers that we spoke to find that that's going to be pretty hard to do in the short term because the economics of actually moving from large packs to small packs doesn't make sense to them. So it's a bit of a chicken and egg story. I think we need to sort of figure that out. I think in outside fertilizer, though, I think in crop protection and seeds, given that the gross margins on those products are typically for manufacturers high, we've seen that already happening. There's a lot of manufacturers willing to sort of go down the small packs. There's also, it's important to understand that we're trying to strive for a market-based solution that's actually sustainable. But if you were to flip this argument and say that, is there a rule where let's forget about market-based solutions, but can we sort of just find a solution to this problem? Then the question really becomes as to who's going to fund this additional cost of actually packing in small bags. I mean, I'm all for the solution. I think from our perspective, it isn't clear as to what the economics are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think market-based is hopefully what we're going to get out of this, which goes back to that idea of facilitating through the system rather than us injecting something artificially. And I guess just to clarify, in terms of the cost of this e-verification system, it will be borne by the manufacturers. Granted, we are helping to do certain things like the media campaign to promote it to the farmers, so they won't have to do that piece of it. So we're helping them in that way. And UNBS, by having their involvement, they've been able to secure free SMS usage from the telecoms, which is huge. You know, removing that cost is a nice bonus. So that doesn't hit the farmer that's utilizing the service when they scratch an SMS in, but the manufacturers will have to pay. And we do think there will be that market incentive based on the pilot data. But in terms of fertilizer, now, whether it works long-term or not, we do know that there is a company about to launch small-pack fertilizer in Uganda for the first time. And we're very excited about it because it's a huge issue with this whole repackaging that opens up all of these holes in the supply chain for either purposeful adulteration or just the degrading that happens from the action of repackaging, which also has climate change implications. So there's yet another systemic piece here that if we can stop the repackaging, it reduces fewer greenhouse gases, and we have a mitigation impact just as a bonus. But and we do know that the company that is planning to do the small pack launch is very interested in doing it with the e-verification tags as well, because they know the minute that thing hits the market, it'll be a matter of days before somebody is imitating it. So we're very eager to see how that goes. Have high hopes.
Excellent. Thank you both. And I would also just like to give a quick shout out to Jen Peterson, who manages the Ag Inputs project for Tetra Tech from Vermont, who just shared a bit of an example in the chat box. So be sure to take a look at that, an example that she shares from Uganda. All right, we've certainly had a few more questions come in, and so I will click on over. Oh, Judy,
what's your name? I have a quick question for Kristen. I know the first pilot, which was small but taught us a lot, it also brought up the problem of reuse of e-verification, so that the farmers would want to buy the things with the e-verification tag. They wouldn't scratch off. They'd be happy that they had the right stuff. They'd walk out, they'd use it, they'd throw the container out, and then the counterfeiters could easily grab that container and refill it, and it would look like it was the real thing, especially because the farmers hadn't even scratched off the label. How are you addressing that this time around?
Yes, that is true. That is definitely part of the education training campaign for the agro dealers themselves. I think it will also be embedded with the farmer, but we want the agro dealer to know, one, that the SMS is free. So if the farmer doesn't even want to do it, they should do it and let the farmer watch them do it before they finish executing the sale. So that way it just reinforces that, yes, I am secure that the product I am providing you is genuine, and I'm going to show you, even if you don't want to scratch and phone it in, I'm going to. And that even if they don't, if nobody really wants to SMS it in, just at least scratch the tag, if nothing else. And so that's also why we really, really only wanted to support a system that was a scratch-off, because if it's not, then we lose this capacity altogether. But that is a key piece of this training education campaign that we're hoping we can get the word out.
Very interesting. Thanks for that question and response. All right, we had a question from Hans Mazura, once again, who is a big fan of e-verification, but just wonders if you could quickly address how that relates to the natural deterioration that might occur in a product due to poor storage or transportation conditions, and perhaps reduce faith on the farmer if they have something verified, but it could be a poor quality for a different reason, not due to counterfeit.
Yeah, I think, this is Pradeep again. I think as we discussed, e-verification cannot solve all the problems that exist, right? I think it's limited in what it can do. I think the thing that it actually definitely can't test is the product quality inside the pack. I think all that e-verification is trying to do is authenticate that the product that you're buying is indeed made by a supplier of a known brand, and therefore I think essentially you're ensuring that you're buying a product that's being created by a supplier that's actually licensed to produce that product. But there are a number of other solutions that can be designed, but the cost benefits of those are unclear for solving the issues that you're talking about. So for instance, I think product testing at different levels by using lab kits is something that we've explored intensively, but it's just too expensive and nobody's really willing to bear the cost of doing it. So I guess in short, as we discussed before, if we can get to 60 to 70% of the problem through the solution, we should. But the rest of the problem, I think it remains to be seen as to how can we figure out market-based solutions to solve it. I think one of the things that you mentioned is a problem that exists when products are sitting on the shelf for year on year, and which lose efficacy, and this is not a solution to that.
Another question from Bob Robotsky. Since incentives are large to sell counterfeit products, what prevents illicit companies from setting up their own e-verify system?
Great. I would expect a question like that from Bob. So I think the answer is I don't see individuals being able to set up their own e-verification system because, as Kristen mentioned, I think the upfront cost of infrastructure to actually set it up, which is either sort of the serialization infrastructure that you need to generate tags, or actually the telecom and data infrastructure that you need to actually authenticate it, are pretty expensive for counterfeiter companies to do it individually. So I don't sort of see that to be a major issue. But however, I think there's another problem that I think is related to what you're talking about, which is what can stop licensed manufacturers not to counterfeit once they're part of the system, right? Because often we've seen that one of the biggest challenges with setting up a closed-loop system like this is how do you actually ensure that the players who are coming into the e-verification system are not incentivized to continue to counterfeit now because you almost have a authenticity label that's being attached to your counterfeiting, and how do you protect against that? And we found that there's a parallel effort that both USAID and Gates Foundation are looking at, which is how do you quality assure ag sort of companies and ag supply chains, and what does it take to do that? Because we think that that's going to be a prerequisite before you can have. I think it's something that we need to sort of think about how to sort that out through quality assurance. But I don't see it being done by individual companies. I think it's more the problem of ensuring who's in and who's out of the system.
We have Rita on the line, and we had hoped that she would be able to answer a couple of questions, and so we thought we would see if she had a response to this question. Chief of Party of the Inputs Project in Uganda, the Ag Inputs Project. And so, Rita, will you try speaking, and I'll let you know if we can hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well, Rita. Excellent. I'll just ask that question again because, okay. We would love for your response on the need for quality assurance in tandem with e-verification. Do you have any comments on that?
Yes, I specifically, especially with seed quality, we do have a serious issue in Uganda with the weakness of the crop, the seed certification system. But we see that as being an issue that needs another solution separate from e-verification. And we are currently in discussions with the seed companies and with the National Seed Certification Service to allow the private sector companies to have a greater role and responsibility in actual seed certification, so that the National Seed Certification Service can act more as an auditor to inspections being done by qualified inspectors within the companies. But this is a long-term type of solution, which is very important and very needed. But at least e-verification has the advantage of holding the companies themselves accountable for the quality of the product that they put out. It's not a perfect solution, but at least if the companies are accountable, then they can start being questioned about why they're selling poor quality, if indeed that's what's happening. So it's one step in a major solution that's needed. When it comes to agrochemicals, again, the whole import inspection, PIVOC, and the kind of thing that UNBS is trying to do in collaboration with the Ministry of Agriculture to ensure that what comes into the company meets the specifications on the labels. But it needs a much bigger solution.
Thank you, Rita. This is Judy. Can you hear me? Given you're on the ground in Uganda and we've had an update since, do you have any additions you'd want to add for the audience on what's happening now, what the current challenges might be that you didn't anticipate, or whether things are going smoothly for this crop cycle?
I apologize because I came into the webinar late. So challenges with respect to this crop cycle for the e-verification?
Yes.
We're just at the point of launching, and so the labeling of products and getting them onto the shelf will be taking place between now and the beginning of the next rains, which are anticipated in March next year. So we are just at the kickoff point. So we've got a lot of things to work out in terms of actually getting the companies onboarded, getting their systems online, getting the labeling onto the packages. It's still a lot to do between now and next March.
Mm-hmm. So this is Judy again. We know that this is really a public-private partnership between the government of Uganda and Impedigree, and you all as a USA project are trying to facilitate this. Has that been an awkward road to travel where you are actually helping to make sure it works, where you aren't even actually a formal part of the partnership?
Well, there are always challenges when you're trying to broker other people's arrangements. We've been very pleased with the progress between getting an experienced service provider like Impedigree on board with the government service. We have yet to see how that's actually going to materialize with the service delivery, but they have a good reputation. Our role is just the public education campaign. But now we have a second service provider that's come onto the market. And clearly the government system is not terribly pleased with facing that competition. So there are some challenges in trying to keep the public education campaign neutral and making sure that we can get the farmers informed about the fact that there is more than one service delivery option, and that will depend on the package and the supplier that they're buying from. So those are some of the challenges in trying to craft a public education campaign.
Great. Thanks a lot, Rita. I'll turn it back over to Julie so she can pull some more questions from the chat box.
Great. Thank you, Rita and Judy. And as you can see, we've put up some polls on our screen, knowing that some people may have to leave right around the hour mark, although we will take a few more questions before we wrap up. So we always appreciate your responses to these questions, just to help us track how this webinar went, what your thoughts were, and help us improve our webinars going forward. So please take a moment to answer these poll questions as long as you're still here. And then I will go back to our list of questions from this webinar. And Maria Lieberman of the University of Notre Dame Chemistry Department mentioned that the World Health Organization tracks falsified pharmaceuticals globally through a rapid alert system. Is there any corresponding way that you know of to track bad products in a more global sense?
This is Pradeep. I think in theory, yes. I think in practice, it's going to be hard to see that happen over the next few years, primarily because I think for a global system like that to work, I think you need to have a broad range of pharmaceutical, or in this case, sort of agricultural input companies to come on board. They need to adopt a serialization standard that actually everyone's going to follow across the globe. And then you need to have an infrastructure that allows you to verify those serialization codes with partnerships with multiple telecom companies and infrastructure providers across the world. So I think, in short, in principle, it can be done, and I don't see the field actually moving that direction over the next 3 to 5 years. Also, in agricultural inputs, we've seen that the counterfeiting doesn't tend to be so high in markets that are relatively mature. So the question really is, as agricultural markets sort of more mature more broadly, will there be a requirement for the solution at all, or would we see markets evolve to an extent where manufacturers are managing this? So I think that's an unanswered question, and So therefore, we don't see manufacturers trying to adopt the global standard on this anytime soon.
Great, thank you. We also had a question from Stephen D'Alessandro, who asked, do you have a sense of the level of corruption and its role in weakening enforcement and penalizing illicit behavior activities? I assume he means more specifically in Uganda. And that is something that perhaps Rita might be able to address, just the level of corruption in this arena in Uganda and its role in weakening enforcement and penalizing illicit behavior or activities. Rita, is that something you can comment on?
Well, it's the level of corruption is very difficult to determine. And I would think that in this arena, that the biggest problem is primarily the lack of capacity for enforcement. Although the possibility that seed could be being certified without or could obtain certification labels through back channels somehow can't be completely precluded. But I think the real biggest problem is just the lack of capacity for enforcement of any kind.
Great. Thank you, Rita. We also had just a forward-looking or a broader question from Godfrey Ejimakor, who simply asks, are there any plans to deploy the strategy to other parts of Africa, whether as a USAID program or if you know any other similar programs that are out there at the moment? Or perhaps just what you think should happen going forward.
This is Judy. I've tried to follow this, and I haven't seen any other ag verification systems except for in Mali. There is some work going on this topic. If anybody in the audience could, I tried to have Mali actually participate in this webinar, but I guess they haven't made as much progress to be able to participate. So if there's anybody in the chat box that actually has an idea or an answer to this question, I'd appreciate it. Or in Asia.
This is Rita. I do know that the private sector companies are actively looking at getting involved in e-verification in the seed sector. They've made approaches in Kenya and in Tanzania. On a purely private sector basis. So I know that there's a lot of effort to approach the sector and individual companies. And some of the individual agrochemical companies do have their own systems for e-verification on all of their products. I believe Bayer is one example of that.
Interesting. Thank you, Rita. We also had another question come in that is probably most appropriate for you, Rita, which is a question or a statement that Uganda has a national body of agro input dealers. To what extent has the e-verification project closely worked with this body of agro input dealers in profiling and having a sense of the distribution network of ag inputs within the country?
The Feed the Future Uganda Ag Inputs Project is working very closely with UNADA, which is the Agri-Dealers Association. We are collaborating with them on putting together an agricultural inputs web platform, which will include a listing of over 1,000 agri-dealers nationwide with GPS mapping, so that farmers can find the nearest agri-dealer. And we will be collaborating with UNADA in rolling out the public education campaign so that we can reach as many of these agri-dealers as possible to inform them about how they can participate in the e-verification system, how it's free, and they will be able to work with the farmers to do the scratch verification at the point of purchase. We will also be having point of purchase posters and educational materials available through the Agri-Dealers Association. So we are working very closely together.
Thank you, Rita. That was very helpful. I'd also like to point out that Maria Lieberman had clarified her earlier question about tracking incidents of counterfeit input. And she mentioned that by tracking, she meant that there's a system for reporting falsified products to national regulatory agencies. And thus, if you find one counterfeit sample in Uganda, you can warn customers in, say, Kenya, Malawi, or Tanzania, et cetera. Based on that clarification, do you have any further comments, Pradeep?
Yeah, I think in general, I think the general information that, listen, there's a problem with maize seeds and there are counterfeits is information that you can definitely get and you can communicate pretty broadly as farmers are looking out growing season to buy inputs. I think what's going to be challenging is to say that, hey, don't buy products from this company, because often I think what end-use authentication does is just tells you that the product that you're buying is genuine or fake. It doesn't actually trace it back to which manufacturer or who's actually counterfeiting and where does the product come from, and it takes different forms and shapes. So I think in general, I think the idea is a good one, which is, can you sort of feedback the information that you get at the authentication point to use that to drive broader consumer awareness? I think absolutely, but can you really give them actionable information for farmers to make an informed choice of buying one product versus another? I think that's much harder, and I don't think there are any plans to do that in the immediate future.
This is Rita.
All right,
could
great.
I comment?
Sure, Rita, go ahead.
The Ag Inputs activity has had a anti-counterfeiting hotline for the last year and a half, and we've collected a lot of information about counterfeited products. There's also been a lot of research in Uganda about the level of counterfeiting on the market, but not so much about where it's coming from. The problem with all of that is that all it does is undermine the farmer's confidence in all inputs. And as a result, productivity is declining because farmers are not using improved inputs because they don't know what to trust. This is where I think the e-verification is so terribly important, because it now gives the farmer a level of confidence that if I buy this package, I know it's genuinely from a supplier that I know has good products, whereas just warning them that because the best products, the ones in the highest demand, are also the ones that are most likely to be counterfeited because they're the most lucrative. So warning them about counterfeits of a certain brand name without being able to tell them how to get genuine product of that brand name is just compounding the problem. So this is really why we're so excited about the e-verification system coming online.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very interesting, Rita. Thanks for that perspective. I agree that's an important angle to the problem. All right, so we are about to wrap up. I think we have maybe one more question that we'll address, but I also just wanted to make sure that everyone is aware that you can download the presentation slides from this webinar at the link that is currently in the little links pod on the left of your screen. And we are recording this webinar, and we'll post it also at that same link in the links pod. And if you join today, you'll also get an email in about a week's time or so with any post-event resources, including the recording to this webinar. So we encourage you to review it if you need to, or to pass it along to your colleagues. All right. Well, like the last unanswered question we have right now is a follow-up from Jared Gensel, a follow-up on some of the questions we had earlier about packaging sizes, verifying qualities. Is there a parallel effort to rate agro dealers, i.e. verify the actors in the supply chain? Maybe there's an idea of having something that is analogous to eBay or Yelp or online type ratings. Is that an idea that you've seen out there or think would be a worthwhile idea?
Yeah, I think in general there's a lot of effort that's underway, which is around certification of agro dealers by providing them with training, which a lot of donors have undertaken, including USAID and the Gates Foundation. So at some level, I think there are mechanisms to certify whether an agro dealer, I mean, when you buy a product from an agro dealer, are you likely to find that in most cases the agro dealer has both the knowledge and is able to sell the products that you think are genuine ones. I think also manufacturers in select cases like Bayer Crop Science, for instance, have set up this whole certified a whole bunch of stores that are priority stores for them as Green World stores. So I think there are efforts underway, but I think the biggest challenge is that the smallholder farmer really doesn't have much of a choice in which store he goes to, because often the store decisions for smallholder farmers are based on proximity issues. So that's why I think a lot of these certifications haven't resulted in sort of farmers actually picking one store over another, because the choice is actually fairly limited.
Rita, do you have anything to add to that question?
Well, we are working with the Ministry of Agriculture to try to strengthen the certification of agri-dealers, especially with respect to agrochemical handling and sales. And we're also working with the private sector seed companies with a quality mark for seed, which we hope will eventually extend to helping them to not only certify the quality of their seed, but also to certify their agri-dealers in their distribution channel to make sure that they're actually handling seed correctly, that it's being stored under the right conditions, that it's being retested after one season, etc. But those are efforts that are still a ways from fruition.
Thank you very much, Rita. This is Judy again, and I wanted to close out the webinar. I thank the speakers, Pradeep and Kristen. I thank Rita for overcoming her technical challenges and joining us with her insights, and I thank the audience well for their good questions and attention. And please do follow up on AgriLinks if you have additional questions or want to share any of this with your colleagues. You can also email me at jpayne@usaid.gov if you have more information on what else is going on in the area of e-verification. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Great, and thank you, Judy, for bringing this idea to AgriLinks. And on behalf of the AgriLinks team, thank you to our participants. We hope to see you at future AgriLinks webinars. So thank you, and have a great rest of the day.